We want to sing this afternoon one song. I'm just going to sing one song. And I announced the number, and I'm going to change it. That's the prerogative of the leader and the song leader. And so I'm going to do that this afternoon. You pray as we try to sing. And it's Great God Attend. It's to the tune of Duke Street, if you're understanding of that. Tune by Isaac Watts, or the words by Isaac Watts, number 524 in the old school hymnal number 12, 524. Great God attend while Zion sings the joy that from thy presence springs, to spend one day with thee on earth exceeds a thousand days of mirth. Might I enjoy the meanest place within thy house, O God of grace, not tents of ease with thrones of power should tempt my feet to leave thy door. God is our sun, he makes our day. God is our shield, he guards our way from all the assaults of hell and sin, from foes without and foes within. All needful grace will God bestow, and grace that grace hath glory to. He gives us all things and withholds no real good from upright souls. O God, our King, whose sovereign sway the glorious hosts of heaven obey, and devils at thy presence flee. Blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Thankful for the privilege again that we have of being here at the church building. The thoughts and the intents of our heart were that it might feel more at home, and it does. And we're thankful for that. And so you pray this afternoon. We have many that we need to be in prayer for in this time that we're in, being separated from one another physically, and yet our hearts and our minds can be melded together, M-E-L-D-E-D, melded together in a wonderful way when we think on the goodness and the mercies of God that have been in our lives for so long and for so many years. But let's pray for those who stand in peril's way. Pray especially for the older members. of your church and of our church here. Pray that the Lord would guard their lives. We certainly need them, and we need wouldn't want anything to be done that would cause them to get sick. And so we're here. We're not knowing at this particular time. We don't know exactly when we'll be able to assemble here once again, but we do pray that the Lord would lead us and guide us in that way as we try to follow the civil authorities that are there. The city of Knoxville, where we are, has a little bit more stringent restrictions on things, and I'm waiting until tomorrow to find out what they will allow, I guess is the word for it. But in the meantime, I believe that God puts us in these situations or allows these situations to come in our lives so that we might learn from them. And as so many teachers that I've had over the years would ask me concerning an academic lesson, well, what have you learned from this? And the question is good. It's a good question for us to try to answer concerning the situation that we're all in right now, not knowing exactly what to do, what's the next step, will things get back to normal? And so it's a good time of reflection. I believe that God has stripped away many of the things, or allowed them to be stripped away, that divert our attention from Him. And so we have time, or we ought to ponder and to think upon the good things that God has done for us. And so as we do that, let's ask ourselves the question, what have we learned from this time, this almost 5 weeks now, being separated from our brothers and our sisters in a church worship service? And my heart yearns for it. I desire it above all things, it seems, in this life. And so what I've learned is that I knew that meeting at the church house meant a lot to me before, but it means so much more to me now. It means so much more than when I try to think about the goodness and the merits of God that He's given to us. He's done so many things for us, and we ought to think on these things. What has God done for us? What have we learned from this time that we've been separated from one another, separated from assembling at the church house, at the church, if that's what you want to call it, that's fine. It's a church. The church meets here. We're not here right now, but I trust that we have assembled together. Excuse me. Now, I've had many thoughts on my mind this week. That's one of the things about being where we are has done. But I began to think about what God still provides for us. We're in a time when there are things we need. Some things we can't find in the stores. Now, you may have had that experience yourself. We can start naming those things off. There's no need to. But as we think about the things that we can't find, that we can't have, that we've been used to having, for instance, some of us really need a haircut. Some of us men, maybe you sisters need one too, I don't know, but we're used to being able to go just about any time we want to and get that done, and that's not possible, or hasn't been up to this point. So we're doing without some things. But maybe we've learned what we can do without and what we can't do without. And maybe it has caused us to have a renewed zeal for the house of God, for the Word of God, and for the things of the people of God that assemble our brothers and our sisters that meet together with us from time to time when we're able. So maybe, I trust that's what we've learned. I hope it is, at any rate. I want to read some scripture that has to do with a place called Zion. Now, you know, Zion was, in a geographical sense, that highest hill there upon the hills of Jerusalem. And it was atop the hill called Zion that the first temple was built, and the temples that replaced it after that, those sanctuaries that were dedicated to the things of God and to the worship of God under the law service there. So that geographical place was a very sacred place to the Lord's people. It was a place where they understood that He had said He would come and meet with them there. Now, you and I today are not so much tied to a geographical place. Yes, I'm here at the church house. I'm here because I want to be, and I'd love to be looking on your faces this afternoon. But we're not tied to a geographical place where that we can feel the express love of God and the mercies of God in our lives. We're not tied to that. And so, not being tied to it, God has given us the privilege then of worshiping where we are. You know, we've talked about, we've been told to shelter in place. I think a good idea might be for us to worship in place until we're able to come back to the place that we love to worship so well. And so as we think about this place called Zion, I want you to see it in a spiritual sense this afternoon, more than a geographical sense, because there is a place where spirits blend, where hearts hold, friends hold fellowship with friends. And that place is certainly a geographical spot, but it's more so a spiritual spot in our lives. So in the 48th Psalm, the psalmist here says, "According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Now, brothers and sisters, the God that we serve today is the same God that these brethren sang these psalms unto. That's what the psalms were. They sang these psalms of praise unto God and realizing what He had done for them. And as they stepped back to consider what they had there when that temple was there on the highest hill of Jerusalem, there upon Mount Zion, they said this, "Let Mount Zion rejoice." Now, was that physical hill going to cry out? I know there's a time when Jesus said, when His disciples asked Him to quiet the people in Jerusalem as He rode in, and Jesus said, "If they remain quiet, even the rocks will cry out." Yes, it's possible for the rocks to cry out, but that's not what this is talking about. Let Mount Zion rejoice. The psalmist here is talking about that place of the heart where God's people may first of all go and feel themselves close to God in those times of worship toward Him. I hope that you don't just worship on Sundays. Today's been a good day. I've already seen two or three messages, or at least parts of messages, and I'll go back and view the others that I've, as much as I can, that I've missed. The internet waves have been full of worship, full of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been given a blessed privilege in that way. And I hope that you've set this day aside for that and not gone off after other things that were of leisure to you. But there are some who had to go, no doubt. I understand that. But I trust and I pray that we have taken advantage, full advantage of that vacuum of, to us, of not being able to meet and to assemble in the house of the Lord. And God filled that vacuum up. Look at it. He's given us more opportunities than we've ever had to hear primitive Baptist preaching. And if you're not a primitive Baptist, then whatever you have listened to today, the Lord bless you in it. But He's given us more opportunities to hear and to see preaching than we've ever had before. Men have set their preferences aside in some cases and have tried to take advantage of what God has provided to continue to feed the sheep of God. You know, when Peter was there, and he had betrayed the Lord Jesus, and he'd gone back to his trade. He was a fisherman. And Jesus appeared there and called Peter and the other disciples in off their boats. Jesus had prepared food for them. He wasn't asking them to prepare food for Him. He prepared a table for them. The Lord has prepared a table in the wilderness today that you and I can partake of, the sweet songs of Zion and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. And so as they ate that meal then, Jesus asked Simon Peter three times, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" And the answer was, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And Jesus then gave him the command of what he was to do from that point forward. And he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And so, brothers and sisters, men have taken up that command, as it were, and have made, availed themselves of the opportunities such as this to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people, even across this way. And so as we've come this way this afternoon, I just trust that we will understand that, and let Mount Zion rejoice. Let that place in the heart that desires to worship and has, I trust, worshiped already today, let it sing forth the praises of God. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. And then there's another phrase that says this, walk about Zion. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. That means count them. See how many towers that God has provided, those places of strength, those places of fortitude that were there that maybe they hadn't thought much about before. And I tell you, if we consider the Lord, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as fitting this particular passage of Scripture here, walk about Zion. Maybe that you have been a member of the church since you were a little child, and that's good. Maybe you have counted it as something that you thought would always be there, and I understand that, but here we are, and here we may stay for a little while, we don't know. We ought to consider the things and the privileges of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that God has given to us, and walk about Zion, tell her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, consider, look at these things, become more familiar with it, consider the privileges and the blessings of the church in your life, more so than any other thing in your life. I trust that you will. I trust that the Lord has blessed us to have this time of reflection to do that very thing as we think about how that God has provided this for us. You know, I'll tell a little bit of a funny story here. I changed jobs one time many years ago, and I got a little discouraged with it. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be, at first at least. And so I'll just be honest with you, I was sort of mumbling and complaining, just like we like to talk about those children of Israel, mumbling and complaining with what God had given to them. There He had given me a job and a way to provide for my family, and I was mumbling and complaining because it wasn't exactly what I thought it would be or what I maybe wanted it to be. And I had a good friend come to me, and he just said a few simple words, but they struck as a knife to me in a good way. And he said, "Why don't you try to remember how glad you were when you got this job and just go on from there?" And finally I did. And the Lord then began to change my attitude about it. We ought to, rather than complaining maybe about things concerning the church. I hope you don't. Maybe you don't. But whatever it is, I trust that you don't. But we ought to count the privileges of the Lord Jesus Christ's church to us in the earth as something far greater than anything else that we may possess in this lifetime. If you remember back when how happy you were when you first joined the church and what it meant to you, why don't you start there and remember that and go forward from this point on with the goodness and the merit of God in your mind and considering all the good things that He's done for you and for me in these things. Thankful. We're thankful this afternoon for what He's done. We're thankful that the Lord has blessed us to be able to call ourselves a part of the earthly church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how that we ought to walk about Zion. Go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Count them. See how many blessings God has given to you in the church. Mark ye well her bulwarks and consider her palaces. Now I want to go to a sad part of this afternoon. Because in a physical sense, what the psalmist was telling the Lord's people to do was not going to be there for them to do that very much longer. Because of their disobedience and their failure to count it precious, as the Lord had given to them that great place to worship. He brought them according to the promise that He made all the way back to Abraham. And He renewed it in Isaac. And He renewed it in Jacob. And He caused that small family there to grow into a great nation. And yes, they were in the bondage of Egypt, but He had told all the way back to Abraham, I'll bring them out. And I'll take them to a land that I've told thee of. That was the land of promise. That land of Canaan that was there. Now, I'm going to say this very quickly. Some people, I believe, read that and think that the promised land, the land of Canaan, is a type or a figure of the church and the earth. Of heaven and immortal glory. But I believe it's more so a figure of the church and the earth, the local assembly. That's been given to us, the privileges of worship that have been given to us, and how that God has renewed our hearts and renewed our hopes in these things, and that we can come and renew them freshly week by week when we assemble together. And so, as they were in that promised land, they failed to maintain the proper perspective. They failed to be satisfied with what God had given to them. There's many places we could go in Scripture to show you that. I don't have time this afternoon, nor do I want to. But I want you to see this, that the Lord had told through the prophet Isaiah that He would do these things. First of all, He began to give them hope of something better even than that physical place called Zion. In the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says this, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, notice this, the mountain of the Lord's house, that high spot called Zion, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, that word did go out from Jerusalem. That's where that the Lord Jesus came and began then to teach there to His people in that area called Judea and in Jerusalem. And so when the word went out, it went out from Jerusalem. So in a physical sense, the Lord kept His word to His people. But I want you to know this, that the only reason I believe that the Lord has established a physical church in the earth, an assembly of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, a meeting place where we can come together, is so that we'll come and edify one another and glorify the Lord in our worship toward Him and then be strengthened to go forth in that, to go forth into the week to come, that we might show forth the good things that God has done to us and be strengthened enough in it to do that. God has given us that special privilege to do that. And so He has already, He's established the church in the highest place that exists in on this earth, not a physical spot, but a spot in the hearts of His people. And that high place, brothers and sisters, is a place that ought to be more precious to you than anything that you can ever think of in this life. Now, we go on in this book of Isaiah, where the Lord says this. In the 25th chapter and beginning at the 6th verse. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, and wines on the lees well refined. And what he's saying here is there's going to be a banqueting place. There's going to be a table prepared. Remember when David spoke in that 23rd Psalm and said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. David was speaking in terms of a banquet that was there. And he was talking about spiritual things, not physical. He wasn't talking about physical food or physical water or physical oil for that matter. He was talking about the blessings of the Holy Spirit showing us the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that place then being a place that's a banquet for us. We're not going to get hungry there. You know, you may overeat at a table of natural things. You may get to the place where you don't even desire food in any way. But the banqueting table of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place that you can't overeat. You can't overeat there. You can get full, but the minute you get full, your heart's desire is for more and more of that. That's why that people can say this, that they love the preaching, even if it's three or four in one day. I had a fellow I worked with many years ago, another one, who was asked me where I was going on a particular weekend. I said, I'm going to a gospel meeting. And he said, what are they going to do there? And I said, we're going to sing and we're going to pray and a good number of preachers are going to preach. He said, why in the world do you want to sit there and listen to all that preaching? And I said, you'd have to be there to understand it. Brothers and sisters, you never get full. We may get tired physically, but we don't get full. And so then the Lord went on to say, in that same place that he's talking about, he's foretelling the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this scripture. And it says in verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as a straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And so forth in that scripture. God has given us a place. And that place is represented by a physical spot. I'm in it right now for me. I'm in that physical spot. But the thing that means more to me than the physical spot is the hearts of God's people who I know at this very time are praying that the Lord's word would be honored in all that I might say or do. And that his word might go out and that God's people might be strengthened be able to rejoice in these good things that God has done for us. On into the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, in that day, which day? The day of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church in the earth. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That verse alone ought to be a verse that you and I have committed to memory. That verse alone. Let's read it again together. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That means fully matured peace. That's not a peace that's depending on situations or circumstances. That's a peace, my brothers and sisters, that comes to us in knowing that our God is with us. Lo, this is our God. We've waited for Him, and He will save us. He will deliver us from these things. He has, and He will continue to do that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That means held in place. Held in place. Because he trusteth in thee. We have a wonderful privilege in the earth today. And though we find ourselves in this situation, I want to tell you, and not in my lifetime, but in the lifetime of some who are watching this or listening to this afternoon, there have been worse times than this. I'm 71 years old, and my parents lived through what's called the Great Depression. And I've heard them speak of it so many times, and they didn't have the things that they needed. I'm not talking about conveniences either. I'm talking about things they truly needed, and they couldn't get them. They couldn't find them. They weren't available to them because of that depressed state of the economy that lasted for many years there together. That same group of people went on and then into World War II when so many had to leave and go and defend our nation and leave their families and their families not knowing how things were going to go with them, not knowing where their next meal might come from even because they'd lost the breadwinner. But God provided the means for this nation to recover from that. Now, I will say this, it may sound negative, but there was a problem with that. And that was that that same generation came out of that time, both of those times perhaps, but especially the end of the war, saying, my children are going to have more than I had. And oh, brothers and sisters, what an ominous thing that was for them to say, because that was true. Their children, my generation, had more than they had. We became used to having the conveniences of life that didn't even have to think about it a whole lot in many cases. Sometimes God brings us to times such as this that we might stop, pause, reflect, and look for His power. Look for His guidance. See where that He would have us to go. See how He would have our minds to be set and to be established on the things of God. If you've been captured at home over the last few weeks, you've had a blessed privilege that you may not have had if you've had to work or had other responsibilities on you, of reading God's Word just about any time you wanted to. I hope you've taken advantage of that. I hope that God has blessed you to do that in this time that we're in. But also, brothers and sisters, you and I have had a time to reflect and have our minds stayed on Him so that He might keep us in perfect peace, that fully matured state of resting in Him, of resting in Him, not depending on the work of our hands to bring things that we need to us. I'm not saying that God has given us that. I'm not saying that He hasn't. He certainly has. But I'm saying sometimes we get so strong in that we begin to think of things that maybe we've provided these things, and if we need anything else, we'll ask the Lord for them. But brothers and sisters, you don't have anything that God didn't provide. What hast thou that God has not given thee? And I'm going to include your eternal salvation. You don't have it because you desired it. You don't have it because you went searching for it and by the strength of your own will, somehow you got it. You have it because God Almighty found you as He did Jacob that one time in a waste howling wilderness and put His favor upon him and upon you and drew you out of that place that you were, not thinking about Him, not mindful of Him in very much of any way, and brought you to the place where that you were able then to rejoice in what God has done for you. I've heard the testimony of that in someone that's very close to me just a day or so ago. Knowing that it had to be God who delivered him from the state of mind that he was in and brought him to the place of realizing how good God is and how sweet the life is of that one who serves him and desires to serve him above all things. So let us walk about Zion. Let us walk about Zion. Let's read another description of it. Great is the Lord and greatly, I'm back in Psalm 48 now, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. There have been times in your life, no doubt, that you needed a place of refuge. And maybe you didn't know where to go. And yet God has spoken in that quiet voice to you and said, come to me, come to me. Jesus said those same words when he said in the Gospel of Matthew, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And brothers and sisters, when we come, He'll not send us away. And I'm not talking about to gain eternal life. But when that which is already within us begins to see and to cause us to see that we have greater needs in our lives than what we can assemble for ourselves or get for ourselves, that we come to depend upon the grace and the merit of God in all of these things. And I trust that this time that we've had together, has been such that you and I can remember these things and remember what God has done for His people, done for us in so many different ways. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture to end this afternoon concerning the Apostle Paul. I'll build this up just a little bit so you'll see the importance of it. The Apostle Paul was a zealous Jew. He was a Pharisee. He said, well, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, he was of the highest caliber of Pharisees. He held the law more sacred. He was more strict in his keeping of the law. He was more zealous than anyone else around him in keeping that. And yet God struck him down on the road to Damascus. And God had a great work for Saul of Tarsus to do, later to be called Paul. He had a great work for him to do. But that work was not going to be a work that was going to be lauded by men. It was not going to be where people would pat him on the back and say what a wonderful apostle that he was and what a good work he was doing and let them know if he had need of anything. No, it wasn't that kind of work. It was the work of going about and being assaulted, being assailed for his beliefs now in the Lord Jesus Christ, being that one who fulfilled the promises of God that were made to the fathers so many years before that. And he preached Christ and him crucified. And he preached that without fail. And he was persecuted for it. He was stoned for it. He was beaten in many different ways and cast out of cities because of it. So he didn't have an easy life. But we come to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. And in that fourth chapter, let me find this. But Paul is thanking the church at Philippi for sending things that he had need of when he was imprisoned in Rome. And so he says in verse 10, of the fourth chapter of Philippians. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, Paul is not thanking them because he was in great need and they fulfilled that need in a physical sense, but he was thanking them because their hearts and minds were set on first glorifying God by caring for him, and secondly, showing their love to him in the things that they were doing. So he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Here's our part. Listen to this. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What have you learned? What have you learned? Have you learned that lesson? Have I learned that lesson in this 5 weeks? That's a short time, really. Have I learned it, though? I trust that we've learned something. And I trust that we desire to walk about Zion. But let me go on and finish this. Listen to what Brother Paul says. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Now what's he talking about? He's saying I'm learning from everything. I'm learning lessons in this. I'm instructed in it. I'm instructed in it. Both when I'm full, I learn from that. That God has given me those things. It's from His hand that it's come. And I've learned that when I am hungry, that the only place that I can look to for sustenance, both in a natural sense and particularly in a spiritual sense, is to be fed at the Lord's table. To be fed of the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. He said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now look, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You too can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. That's not to say go out and find some big thing to do. I'm saying whatever comes to hand, whatever's laid before you, whatever situation you find yourself in, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ. And that will strengthen you in the days to come. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer for Christ's sake this afternoon. I trust that the Lord would continue to lead us and guide us until such time as we can meet together physically once again. I yearn for that day. I long for it. But until then, may we trust in the Lord and what He's provided for us already. Now, I failed to pray at the beginning of this, but I want to end this with a prayer today. And may the Lord bless you is my prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for thy word. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that thou hast done for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privileges that you've laid upon us. We know that thy word says thou hast daily loaded us with benefits. Those benefits are spiritual benefits, first of all. Heavenly Father, that we might see and our eyes might be open to the things which you provide for us, even in a physical sense and in a sense here of the things we have need of to continue natural life. Open our eyes that we might see that it comes from thy hand. But, oh Lord, even more than that, open our eyes to love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that she is His bride and that He loves her and that He cares for her, that He's washed her with His spotless blood. And the Heavenly Father, you and I, that help us to realize that we have been made a part of that and can rejoice in the good things of God that He's given to us. Again, we pray that you bless those who stand in need of thee in whatever way that might be. Bless those who are aged. Keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father. Guide our hearts and our minds as we try to decide and determine how we ought to move in the days to come. When the time will come, we trust that the church can reassemble. Guide us, O Lord, that we might do things in the most common sense and safe way, and that we might follow thee in all things is our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you and good afternoon.